WABC New York and 107.1 WLIR Hampton Bays.
It's the 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noam Layden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, traffic, Justin Ellick, sports, and now.
Talking the news with Noam
on 77 WABC.
Yes, that's me, 5 o'clock. Good morning. It is Friday, March 15th. Thank God, right? Your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Cloudy day on the way. Could see a pop-up shower this afternoon. The high 66. The weekend looks pretty nice. Saturday sunshine, high 59. Sunday sun and clouds, high 62. If you're walking out the door with us right now, it is 49 and raining in White Plains up in Westchester County. It is 60 and cloudy in Lakewood down in New Jersey. And it is 56, and we're seeing a little light drizzle outside our Midtown studios. We got a whole lot to get to as we work our way up to the 6 o'clock hour. Sit-in friends in the morning. We'll start with this shooting that has been talked about during the overnight. This 36-year-old man armed with a gun in critical condition after he provoked another man on the subway in Brooklyn. This was about 4:45, so the height of rush hour. Lots of people aboard this A train in Brooklyn when these two men get into a fight. And at some point, a woman gets involved in the fight, and she stabs one of the guys in the back with something. It's unclear what that is. But then one of the men pulls out or drops a gun, and the other guy picks up the gun. You follow me on this story? So there's the guy with the gun. He drops it somehow during this fight. And the other guy picks him up and shoots him with it. Meanwhile, by the way, the subway car, this A train, 4:45 in the afternoon, is just packed with people. Lots of kids on board. And there's just panic. There's panic even as these two men fight. Now, what were they fighting about? That's not clear. What will matter in the end? But somehow they got into a fight with each other, and that led to the gunfire and just complete panic aboard this subway packed with all kinds of people.
Let me out! 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 Let me out!
Can you imagine? You're stuck on the subway car. So one of the men is in critical condition today. The other one, who was able to grab the gun away and fire it off, he's in police custody. It's not clear if he'll be charged with anything, but everybody who was aboard this train who watched this played out completely freaked out.
As I'm coming out, you hear pops, like three or four shots, pop, pop, pop. Then the doors open. Everybody come flying out.
People were becoming frantic. People were praying, huddling on top of each other, hugging each other, trying to reassure one another that everything was going to be okay, but it didn't feel like that in the moment.
And then there was no place to escape because the subway was moving. When the doors opened, of course, people just shoved each other to get off the train. They didn't want to be a victim.
It was like a stampede. It's like everybody was rushing to get off the train. So, you know, it was a lot of pushing and shoving, commotion, yelling, crying. It was crazy.
I don't think I was going to make it back home. I was next to everything, like just like you in front of me. That's where I was.
There is wild video on Twitter, other social media platforms that shows people on the subway car crouching in the back corner of the car, some speaking to each other, trying to calm each other down as they try to figure out how to go get away from this all.
The 32-year-old fired multiple shots striking the 36-year-old. As this was occurring, the train pulled into the Hoyt Skirmhorn station, which is right behind me.
That's the transit chief, Michael Kemper, speaking out after the shooting yesterday. The 36-year-old taken to New York Presbyterian Brooklyn Methodist Hospital in critical condition. Authorities say gun was recovered at the scene. It was his gun that was used against him. The head of the MTA, others speaking out.
That gun, we believe, was removed from the 36-year-old by the 32-year-old, and the 32-year-old fired multiple shots striking the 36-year-old.
And that's more from Michael Kemper. Here's the head of the MTA, Jana Lieber.
It's not right, and it is absolutely outrageous. That's what happened here. Someone brought a gun on the train and started a fight.
It is outrageous. And that taking place, by the way, wasn't the only shooting aboard public transit yesterday. Police also investigating after a 19-year-old woman was shot while getting off a bus in Queens yesterday. She was getting off one of those nice buses, the NASA Intercounty Express buses. This was about 6:20 last night, so just about an hour after that shooting, maybe a little less, at Jamaica Avenue near 205th Street when she was shot in the hip. She was taken to Jamaica Hospital where she's expected to survive. Police say the 19-year-old may have been involved in a dispute, some sort of fight like those other two guys, aboard the bus prior to the shooting and was shot once she got onto the street. So far, they have not caught up with the gunman involved in that case. 505, the Michigan dad charged in connection with the deadly school shooting carried out by his teenager was found guilty last night.
Count one, involuntary manslaughter as to Madison Baldwin. Guilty of involuntary manslaughter as to Madison Baldwin. Count two, involuntary manslaughter as to Tate Mayer. Guilty of involuntary manslaughter as to Tate.
That's the foreman of the jury who went on. There was more charges. James Crumbly found guilty on four counts of involuntary manslaughter in the deaths of four students at Oxford High in 2021. If you're not familiar with the story, the shooter's mother, Jennifer Crumbly, has already been found guilty on the same charge. So prosecutors say the Crumblys turned a blind eye to their son's mental health problems and left the gun used in the crime unsecured. So he faces the dad now up to 15 years in prison per count. Ethan Crumbly pled guilty to all the charges he faced for killing those four students at Oxford High and injuring seven others in November of 2021. A story that the entire nation's been watching to see what happens. And now the mom, the dad, and the son will all likely, well, the son's already behind bars. The mom and dad will likely also spend time in behind bars for that school shooting. WABC News Time 509, some wild weather over the last couple hours. This was in Winchester, Indiana. Three people killed from storms that drove through a trailer park. Here's the Indiana State Police Superintendent.
It seems like this always strikes people that... that will have a tremendous need. All of us would. So I think it's the right thing for us to do to let them know that we're not going to leave when all the debris is cleaned up. There's going to have to be resources.
Yeah, four tornadoes whipping through that area of Indiana, killing those three. Those tornadoes also hitting Kentucky and Ohio overnight. SpaceX Starship successfully launched into space yesterday morning. Did you watch this?
We got a Starship on its way to space and a booster on the way back to the Gulf.
Oh, man. I need a moment to pick my jaw up from the floor.
A moment of glee. A video feed from the South Texas Mission Control Center showed the team cheering as the rocket exited the atmosphere. This is SpaceX's third flight test. 10 million pounds of propellant powered the control launch from the Boca Chica Beach. It did not blow up right away like some previous tests.
Congrats to the team. Making it this far is farther than we've gone.
Absolutely.
On flight two.
Yeah, so it was a big moment for SpaceX. They celebrated.
We've got the ship in space. We're now going to take advantage of this and try and learn as much as possible about some of the other systems.
SpaceX Starship rocket designed to eventually send astronauts to the moon and beyond completed this nearly entire test flight through space on its third try yesterday, getting farther than ever before, but then it disintegrated on its return to Earth. Now, they say that's not a failure. They say the fact that this rocket got so far deems this mission a huge success for SpaceX. 510, let's bring it back here into New York. Governor Hochul yesterday flipping the switch on the nation's first offshore wind farm. It's located right off the Long Island coast.
And this will serve as a beacon for the rest of the nation, a statement to everyone of what is possible. And this will be emulated time and time again. It's never been more important for us as New Yorkers to lead as we build a greener tomorrow for our children.
The two-year project has led to the completion of a dozen turbines located roughly 35 miles off the coast of Montauk, which will deliver electricity to 70,000 homes and businesses across Long Island and the Rockaways. Hochul says the South Fork Wind Project gets New York State one step closer to developing 9,000 megawatts of offshore wind energy by 2035.
We flip the switch and turn on the future. the future of power generated by the winds.
Suffolk County Executive
Ed... The winds of change.
Oh, sorry there. Suffolk County Executive Ed Romaine says he's looking forward to the next offshore wind turbine project.
I see the damage that is done from the rising tides, rising sea. I see climate change. I see this as our answer to a better, greener, cleaner
future. Lots of animal rights activists were pushing back against this idea, saying that those whales that had beached themselves over the last couple of years had done so because of these wind turbines. I haven't seen a lot of those in the recent months, which is a good thing. Remember, we went through that period of time where it seemed like every week a beach was a whale was beaching itself. Thankfully, it seems like that has stopped. Whether it was connected to these wind turbines and these farms, that is unclear. 512. England is banning puberty blockers, saying that they're neither safe nor effective for children who suffer from gender dysphoria. That bolsters efforts here in the U.S., where groups have sued to stop transgender health care for kids.
What the United Kingdom has concluded is there is no science to support these interventions for children.
Andrew Brown is with the Texas Public Policy Foundation. They're fighting against a suit that seeks to strike down Texas's newly passed ban on gender-affirming care. It's brought by five Texas families with transgender kids.
What the United Kingdom has just done really bolsters the case that there is no science supporting their safety.
Brown says this is adds to the overwhelming evidence. He says that these drugs are not effective.
If you're hiking down a path through the woods and you see a bunch of people running in the opposite direction, if you keep going down that path, you're an idiot.
There are similar legal battles, by the way, about transgender care in Arkansas, Florida, Kentucky, and Tennessee. A Florida nonprofit working to rescue Americans who are trapped by the chaos in Haiti. Project Dynamo CEO Brian Stern claims the U.S. is beefing up its military presence, but they're only protecting the embassy. So they're going to go in and try to protect the people.
The current mission is staging out of Dominican Republic and flying into the Haitian civil war, essentially being run by extremely brutal gang.
These guys are sort of fearless. Project Dynamo's founders are former intelligence officers. The group have been involved in rescue efforts in war-torn areas around the world, including Ukraine, Israel, and Gaza.
They're deploying to protect the embassy, but they're not able, for whatever reason, to go and get Americans.
Yeah, so this group is able to go in and has successfully in the past pulled Americans out of hostile situations like what's going on in Haiti. And that civil unrest on the island is of Haiti. It's all caused by these gangs that essentially have taken over and the government has failed to stop them. And so the thought is we're going to see this migration surge from Haiti like we have seen in the past. There are established smuggling routes that lead to South Texas, which experts say will likely become very busy now with Haitians trying to cross the border.
Tens of thousands are probably going to try to make it to South America. Many of them go to Brazil and then start making their way up.
That's Professor Tony Payen. He's at Rice's Baker Institute. He says likely these migrants will be exploited by smugglers who will prey on their desperation, violent gangs taking over Haiti. And so these people want out. And if they have the money to do so, the professor says they will get out.
Mexico currently is racked by hundreds of criminal gangs. And so Haitians are very vulnerable. I was in Juarez just a couple of weeks ago. I went into a restaurant and I saw a family that was evidently Haitian.
Yeah, so some of them already coming here. And in a moment, we'll tell you about how the Chinese continue to cross the U.S. southern border. But first, 5:15, let's head over to the 77 WABC Sports Desk. Yes, it is Friday. Justin Ellick, good morning.
Oh, thank goodness gracious. Know them all later. Begin with the huge sigh of relief on this Friday morning. For New York Yankees fans, for the time being, that is, regarding the right elbow status of ace and reigning Cy Young Award winner Gerrit Cole. The Yanks received positive news yesterday, with Cole being informed that he will not need Tommy John surgery, at least for now, after visiting Dr. Neil Latrache in Los Angeles for a second opinion on his right elbow. Cole has been advised to rest and undergo non-invasive treatment and will be shut down for at least a month. A source has said the Yanks have not given a timetable for Cole's return. Keep a close eye on that. To the NBA and our Knicks in Portland last night, where Jalen Brunson scored 45 points And the Knicks rolled past the Trailblazers 105-93. Dante DiVincenzo and OG Anunoby had 12 points apiece for the Knicks, who have won four of their last six as they jockey for a playoff position, or for their playoff position in the Eastern Conference, 16 games left in the season. They're currently sitting as the conference's four seed, but only a game up on the five seed Magic. Brunson had his sixth game with 40 or more points this season, making 15 of 17 free throws. The All-Star did a bit of everything, finishing with four assists, a steal, and a block. On the ice, the Rangers fell 6-3 in Tampa to the Lightning. Jack Roslovich had a goal and an assist. Artemi Panarin and Braden Schneider also scored for the Blue Shirts. Igor Shesterkin had 22 saves as New York fell to 14-3-1 in its last 18 games. Mika Zibanejad left in the second after it appeared he was hit in the face by a puck, but he did return in the third wearing a full shield. In Buffalo, the Islanders got blanked by the Sabres. Final score there, 4-0, coming off a 3-0 loss at Los Angeles on Monday. The Isles were blanked for the sixth time this season, having scored in a span of just over 121 straight minutes now, dating back to the final minutes of a 6-1 win at Anaheim on Sunday. Finally, the Devils were the lone local squad to come away with a win last night, besting the Stars in Dallas by a score of 6-2. Seemed to come all at once for the Devs, with Mercer, Meyer, and Nosek all scoring in the first 6 minutes of the second period to break open a previously close game. Jake Allen allowed two goals on Dallas' first three shots on goal, but went unscathed afterward to finish 35 saves in his first start for New Jersey since being acquired from Montreal last week. And finally, in NFL offseason news yesterday, the Chicago Bears acquired wide receiver Keenan Allen from the Chargers for a fourth-round pick. The Chiefs are signing Marquise Hollywood Brown to a one-year deal worth up to $11 million, and the Seahawks acquired quarterback Sam Howell in a trade with the Washington Commanders. That's your Sports Gnome, and I'm Justin Ellick on 77 WABC.
WABC News Time 519. Let's go down to the U.S. southern border. A spike in illegal immigrants from China coming across the southern border, raising some serious national security concerns. The Air Force General's Gregory Gio, who heads the U.S. Northern Command, was asked about it during a Senate hearing yesterday.
The number of Chinese that are coming across the border is a big concern of mine.
The biggest concern, he says, is the possibility that there are bad actors mixed in.
While many may be political refugees, the ability for counterintelligence to hide in plain sight in those numbers.
Maybe you saw this on 60 Minutes a couple weeks ago. They were showing how many Chinese were crossing the border. The Air Force General and others who are at the border say they are watching what's going on.
I've gone down to the southern border to talk to the agents and the leadership about that.
There were more than 21,000 Chinese caught at the southern border just in the last 4 months. The father to one of the children killed in the Uvalde, Texas school shooting has started a protest now outside of the town's police headquarters. Brett Cross is furious that a city funding investigation of the massacre absolved the officers of any wrongdoing that day.
Their thin blue line backing each other and putting a job over morality and over children's lives.
That report was done by a former Austin, Texas cop, has divided the community. Some feel like it's a whitewash. Cross is leading a group that is calling for police officers to be fired for failing to storm a classroom when they arrived. A total of 19 students, two teachers were killed in the worst school shooting in Texas history.
To make sure that justice and accountability will come to light.
And Cross says he hasn't gotten either of those.
No longer can we sit by and allow these people to get away with it.
521, let's go out to Minneapolis, Minnesota. That's where Vice President Kamala Harris was yesterday, speaking out against lawmakers who have rolled back abortion access across the nation. She toured a Planned Parenthood clinic there, becoming the first vice president to ever visit a clinic providing abortion services.
In states around our country, extremists have proposed and passed laws that have denied women access to reproductive health care.
The vice president says many women across the country suffering following the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. Clearly, this is going to be a big part of their campaign for the White House.
And sadly, in so many places around our country, sex ed is a thing of the past, which leaves our young people to learn about their bodies and reproductive systems on social media.
President Biden, in his State of the Union address, vowed to restore abortion protections if he's reelected. 522, pressure is building on House Speaker Mike Johnson to put a sweeping national security package on the floor for a vote. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell warning that withholding critical weapons for Ukraine has only emboldened Russian President Vladimir Putin.
Vladimir Putin is not playing for a tie.
He's not headed to the negotiating table. He will not stop at Ukraine. He's told us, and he's shown us many times.
And so he's imploring the House Speaker to take the bill up.
The chilling reality here is abundantly clear. Withholding critical weapons has not helped manage Putin's escalation. It has only emboldened him.
So this bill includes $60 billion for Ukraine, as well as aid for Israel and Taiwan. Johnson, the House Speaker, has been reluctant to take up the bill and has reportedly suggested of providing aid in the form of a loan or lend-lease program. While we're in D.C., the highest-ranking Jewish lawmaker in the U.S. is calling on Israel to hold elections for a new government to deal with the threat of Hamas. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer issuing some of the harshest criticism of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu from the Senate floor yesterday.
Prime Minister Netanyahu has lost his way by allowing his political survival to take the precedence over the best interests of Israel.
While Schumer defended Israel's right to eliminate Hamas, he accused Netanyahu of being too willing to tolerate the civilian death toll in Gaza.
He has put himself in coalition with far-right extremists like Minister Smotrich and Ben-Gavir. And as a result, he has been too willing to tolerate the civilian toll in Gaza, which is pushing support for Israel worldwide to historic lows.
So the senator now calling for change in Israel.
As a lifelong supporter of Israel, it has become clear to me the Netanyahu coalition no longer fits the needs of Israel after October 7th. The world has changed radically since then.
As you might guess, Republicans seizing on those comments yesterday. House Speaker Mike Johnson lashing out at the Senate Majority Leader.
We have to stand with and support them right now. But what you're seeing from the White House, and clearly from the Senate Democrats, is really exactly the opposite. They seem to be standing with and supporting Iran and its proxies instead.
House Speaker Johnson says the comments about Israel highly inappropriate.
This is not only highly inappropriate, it's just plain wrong. For an American leader to play such a divisive role in Israeli politics while our closest ally in the region is an existential battle for its very survival.
It is interesting. There's a poll that came out this week in Israel that says 80% of the population want Bibi Netanyahu gone. They don't necessarily want a political change in political ideology. It's probably still going to stay conservative, but apparently the Israelis anyway are tired of Bibi Netanyahu. Content creators who make their living on TikTok upset, confused over this proposed ban that made it through the House.
They're saying, you know, there's security issues, there's privacy issues. We don't see how that's any different than Facebook or Instagram or all these others.
Jessica Cerna is a Texas travel blogger who runs an account called My Curly Adventures. Her TikTok full of places to visit and eat. A ban, she says, would hurt her and the small businesses that get exposure on TikTok.
I remember when they would talk about things that were going viral on Facebook that were negative as well, and no one wanted to shut down Facebook.
It is amazing how many people would be affected who do have become content creators and make good money doing so on TikTok.
It's causing a general mistrust of political powers because they're just saying it's not safe, but we're seeing it's not safe on all platforms.
So the issue, of course, is that TikTok is run by a Chinese company, and the Americans are afraid that that information is being shared with the Communist Party. And China's now pushing back, saying they're not going to let anybody sell off those interests to an American company. And they're warning that the U.S., that a ban on TikTok would backfire against the U.S.
The comments came from China's foreign ministry during a news conference Wednesday after a controversial bill in the U.S. House of Representatives was passed that would force a Chinese company to sell the video app to an American company. A foreign ministry spokesperson called the bill an act of bullying and said even though the U.S. has not found evidence on how TikTok endangers its national security, it's never stopped going after TikTok. Spokesperson said the bill would eventually backfire on the U.S. itself. I'm Michael Kastner.
The opening bell, it rings this morning as the trading week winds down on Wall Street. This comes after hotter-than-expected inflation data was released yesterday. February's producer price index came in at 0.6% against projections of 0.3%. So at the closing bell, the Dow fell 137 points. S&P 500 lost 14. NASDAQ dropped by 49 points.
Talk Radio 77 WABC.
It's the 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noam Layden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, Traffic, Justin Ellick, Sports. And now,
Talking the News with Noam
on 77 WABC.
That is me, 533. Good morning. It is Friday, March 15th. Your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. A cloudy day on the way. Could see a pop-up shower or two this afternoon, the high 66. And then the weekend, it's going to be pretty nice. Saturday, sunshine, high 59. And then Sunday, a little warmer. Sun and clouds, high 62. If you're walking out the door with us right now, so happy you are, 49 and raining in White Plains up in Westchester County. It's 60 and cloudy in Lakewood down in New Jersey. And it's 56 and scattered clouds right here in Midtown. We'll start this half hour. The MTA continues to push hard to get congestion pricing in place in Manhattan by mid-June. They feel like they're very close to the finish line. Even with all these lawsuits, they're just ready. They can taste it, taking that toll, that $15 away from you as you drive below 60th Street here in Manhattan.
The MTA has been very clear that if there are any delays to congestion pricing, we will have to push back schedules on important projects.
New York City Transit President Richard Davey testifying at a city council hearing yesterday that those potential delays include making stations ADA compliant, modernizing subway signal systems. The MTA trying to resolve these lawsuits that are aimed at stopping the plan to toll those drivers go below 60th Street. If the lawsuits drag out in court, the MTA will have to push back the start date of congestion pricing. And of course, that's the idea of those lawsuits.
The MTA board is still considering maybe tweaks to that and have heard as recently as 2 weeks ago from the public in that regard. But, I am of the personal opinion that it should go forward.
Yeah, so what's confusing about this, and so much of this is who's going to get charged what? How much are you going to get charged? Who gets discounts? State Senator James Skoufis is one of those people who wants to know, hey, people in the Hudson Valley going to get a discount because they have to cross the Cuomo Bridge to come to Lower Manhattan? Do they get a discount for crossing that bridge and then essentially paying two tolls? So he was asking about that yesterday.
Congestion pricing sucks. It's outrageous. It is antithesis to really our mission of rebuilding the middle class.
So he represents constituents in Orange County, and he wants them to get a good discount for taking the Governor Cuomo Tappan Zee Bridge, like those who live in Rockland and Westchester County. He says negotiations to get that into the final plan are still going on as we speak.
We're not trying to invent or reinvent a new wheel here. We're just trying to get Orange County included in this already existing discount program.
Now, how much would we get coming from New Jersey? That part isn't clear. If you're going through a bridge or a tunnel, Lincoln or Holland, or over the GWB, which you now pay $17 for, Skoufis. Other lawmakers joining a federal lawsuit by teachers union to block congestion pricing, which the transponders are up. I mean, they're up everywhere. They're ready to collect your money. The MTA wants to begin this in June. Will these lawsuits stop it? We'll have to watch and wait and see. Rents in part of New York City reaching record highs. New Yorkers say they know they are spending too much cash to live here in the big city.
It's going up every year dramatically. You're going to have to do multiple things to make ends meet, not only one source of income.
Too damn high.
How's this one? I'm looking for rent, and the rents are high.
Yeah, well, haven't they always been? I mean, when I moved to the city about 100 years ago, it was really expensive then. And now, well, okay, fast forward a bunch of these years. It's still expensive to live in New York City. Why? Because as much as going on here with all the craziness, everybody still wants to live here. So the median rent in Brooklyn is up 3% from February of 2023, while rent in Northwest West Queens is up just over 1% in that same period. Even though this Elliman report shows rent is reaching all-time highs in certain boroughs, Street Easy says a dozen neighborhoods in Manhattan have actually dropped their prices over the past year.
Everywhere. Inflation, food, when you shop, clothing. Overall, it's everywhere. Everything.
The value and quality of food has gone down and the price has gone up. I mean, you don't have to be a genius to see where this is going.
Yeah, again, you know, if you live in the big city, you pay to live in the big city. It's always been that way. WABC News Time 5:39. This 52-year-old who ran over and killed an 8-year-old in East Elmhurst, Queens on Wednesday may have not been would have been better if he hadn't been behind the wheel, is what I'm trying to say. He has a history of driving recklessly. He struck two brothers who were in the crosswalk, just took a turn way too fast. Bayron Palermo, he was killed. His brother Bradley was injured. And his brother yesterday went to visit the site where his brother was killed, where a memorial has been growing by the hour.
We were just going to cross the street, but then the car was turning and then it hit me and my brother.
The driver, 52-year-old Jose Barcia, taken into custody. Police say Barcia went around another vehicle at the intersection to get past it. And that's when he hit these two kids. So the 10-year-old, thank God, he just has a broken arm. But the 8-year-old, he passed away. Here's his sister.
He said he don't see the boy. I coming out.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. This is an eyewitness.
He said he don't see the boy. I coming out to see what happened because it's terrible. They're screaming.
Basically, this guy was just a dope behind the wheel. Now he is a killer behind the wheel. Bayron died at the scene while his older brother was taken to the local hospital. Here is his sister.
Bayron was so young, and like he was also like always like happy and like cheerful.
Barcia had four prior arrests. Two for aggravated unlicensed operation of a vehicle in 2009, two more in 2010. At what point do they take your driver's license away if you get involved, that kind of thing? He's now charged with criminally negligent homicide, failure to yield to a pedestrian. The charges go on and on. The horrible part of the story, of course, is his 8-year-old is dead. Just as horrible as he was about to celebrate his 9th birthday.
We already had his gift like for like his birthday, and seems like he'll like never receive it like in person.
Yeah, just heartbreaking. I mean, totally heartbreaking and senseless. Accusations of anti-Semitism at a Brooklyn high school made headlines earlier this month. We told you about this story. The school's chancellor, for some reason, waited till yesterday to push back against that idea. It comes after multiple staff members at Origins High School in Brooklyn said that they had been the victims of anti-Semitism. Here's one of the teachers you might remember hearing from.
I've had students call me a dirty Jew. I've had students draw swastikas on my desk and bulletin boards. Students tell me that they want to kill my family. The school, they just say it's academic conversation.
So the chancellor, David Banks, yesterday addressing this issue, why you waited so long, I don't know, but he claims that we, meaning me and other reporters, got this story wrong.
You cannot take a single story and then everybody runs with it as though it's the truth. We had elected officials standing out in front of the school responding to coverage that they saw, never having been in communication with me and never having ever stepped foot in the school.
Yeah, well, we did actually reach out for communication from you, did not hear back. We did hear from the teacher who told us it was awful inside. More than one, by the way, and Muslim teacher as well, saying that she was, thoughts of stuff was happening to her because she's Muslim. Other members of the DOE were speaking out yesterday as well.
There was a teacher at Origins who did hear anti-Semitic comments from a handful of kids on a few occasions.
Okay, so that part of the story is true, even though David Banks is pushing back against
it. That's not right. I heard from staff at this building over and over and over again, not just supporting the principal, but supporting their school and outrage that their school was being painted as some hotbed of anti-Semitism.
We know that as a system, we're struggling with it, and we're continuing to provide the support.
You know, everything this teacher told us, it is a bed of anti-Semitism. Maybe the DOE needs to go investigate a little more further. 543, a Queens doctor previously indicted for sexually abusing several women, including patients, is being arraigned on new charges now. Dr. Z. Allen Chang facing more than 60 charges of drugging and sexually abusing or raping more than a dozen women, as well as filming many of these assaults.
One of the first victims that came forward was not aware that she had been raped or victimized until she was shown a video by the district attorney's office.
That's Nicholas Liakas. He's an attorney for several of the victims. Another victim has come forward accusing the 34-year-old gastro doctor of sexually abusing her at New York Presbyterian Queens Hospital while she was sedated for a colonoscopy back in November of 2021. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. The Queens District Attorney, Melinda Katz, believes there's probably more victims who just haven't come forward yet. Out to New Jersey at 544. We told you about this story earlier this week in Wall Township, New Jersey. this couple bought a plot of land where a house used to be to build a new one. We're all excited when the first shovels went into the ground. In fact, they invited their neighbors to celebrate the fact that they were building a new home. And within just a few hours of doing that, they found skeletal remains that were in the ground that were human. And this is what we're being told now, that the people who are the home builders, Grosso Homes, dug about 5 to 7 feet of dirt. They unearthed the remains of two adults and a child. One of those bones, a jawbone with teeth, was uncovered in the dirt. Now, these are remnants of skeletal remains from a long time ago. At least that's the thought.
I really feel sorry for the couple that are building their dream house. And I feel for the contractors. You know, he expected to be here 3, 4, 5 months building this house.
Yeah, so police this week have been on the scene guarding the area as they do this investigation. So this section of Wall Township is known as Manasquan Shores and contains streets with Native American names. So there's one thought that the Lenape Indians, or Lenape, depending on what side of the street you live on, this might be an Indian burial ground. There's another thought, too, that there were farmers that lived in this area hundreds of years ago. And a lot of times farmers would bury their loved ones right either in their backyard or nearby, and they wouldn't necessarily put any sort of headstone there. And so it could be that. So they're going to do their investigation. The good news is for these homeowners, they've been given the green light to start working on that project and build their new home. All right, 5:45, let's head over to the 77WABC Sports Desk where we find Justin Ellick.
Thank you, Noah Maladen. We begin with a huge sigh of relief for New York Yankees fans for the time being regarding the right elbow status of ace and reigning Cy Young Award winner Gerrit Cole. The Yanks received positive news yesterday with Cole being informed that he will not need Tommy John surgery, at least for now, after visiting Dr. Neil Latrage in Los Angeles for a second opinion on his right elbow. Cole has been advised to rest and undergo non-invasive treatment, was shut down for at least a month. The source said the Yanks have not been given a timetable for Cole's return. To the NBA and our Knicks in Portland last night, where Jalen Brunson scored 45 points and the Knicks rolled past the Trailblazers 105-93. On the ice, the Rangers fell 6-3 in Tampa Bay to the Lightning. Jack Roslovich had a goal and an assist, and Artemi Panarin and Braden Schneider also scored for the Rangers. Igor Shesterkin had 22 saves. In Buffalo, the Islanders got blanked by the Sabres. Final score 4-0 last night, coming off that 3-0 loss at Los Angeles on Monday. The Isles were blanked for the sixth time this season, having scored in a span of just over 121 straight minutes. Finally, the Devils were the lone local squad to come away with the win last night, besting the Stars in Dallas by a score of 6-2. It seemed to come all at once for the Devs, with Dawson Mercer, Timo Meier, and Tomas Nosek all scoring in the first 6 minutes of the second period to break open a previously close game. Jake Allen allowed 2 goals on Dallas' first 3 shots on goal, but went unscathed afterward to finish with 35 saves in his first start for New Jersey since being acquired from Montreal last week. And finally, in NFL offseason news yesterday, the Chicago Bears acquired wide receiver Keenan Allen from the Chargers for a fourth-round pick. The Chiefs for signing Marquise Hollywood Brown to a 1-year deal worth up to $11 million. And the Seahawks acquired quarterback Sam Howell in a trade with the Washington Commanders. That's your Sports Gnome, and I'm Justin Ellick on 77 WABC.
Let's get you up on the big stories of the morning, one of them being the shooting that took place on an A train during the height of the evening rush yesterday in Brooklyn. A 36-year-old man armed with a gun got into a fight with a 32-year-old man aboard this train. The train packed because it is rush hour with kids, people coming or going from work, and these two started fighting with each other, and one of them dropped a gun that he had in his jacket pocket, and the other guy picked up the gun and shot him. Now, this is taking place as the train was rolling, and as you might guess, lots of people pulling out their phone. First of all, they were hiding, number one, hoping not to get shot, but also other people pulled out their phone to sort of give us a glimpse of what it was like, and it was pretty horrific.
Let me out! 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 Let me out!
Thankfully, just the two involved were the only ones hurt. One man who got shot in the head with his own gun by the other guy. He's in critical condition. The other is in police custody. It's not clear what or if he will be charged. But this happening as the train was moving. And apparently these two got on the train. They exchanged words. And then, not to make the story more complicated, but a woman got involved in the fight. And then she stabbed one of the guys with a razor. So we don't know what's going to happen with her, if they've even talked to her. But this happening, the two continue their fight. The one drops the gun. The other one picks it up, fires away. People on this train describing just how horrible it all was.
As I'm coming out, you hear pops, like three or four shots, pop, pop, pop. Then the doors open. Everybody come flying out.
People were becoming frantic. People were praying, huddling on top of each other, hugging each other, trying to reassure one another that everything was going to be okay, but it didn't feel like that in the moment.
Yeah, I bet it didn't. And you can imagine, as those shots were fired, you just wanted to get to the next station, which was the Hoyt station, so you could get off the train. And people were anxious to do that.
It was like a stampede. Everybody was rushing to get off the train. So, you know, it was a lot of pushing and shoving, commotion, yelling, crying. It was crazy.
I don't think I was going to make it back home. I was next to everything, like just like you in front of me. That's where I was.
So the train pulls into the Hoyt station. Officers had heard about the shots. They flooded this crime scene. Here's Michael Kemper, who's head of transit police.
And the 32-year-old fired multiple shots, striking the 36-year-old. As this was occurring, the train pulled into the Hoyt Skirmhorn station, which is right behind me.
So the gun was recovered at the scene. They took the gunman, the guy who fired off the shot, into custody. Well,
that gun, we believe, was removed from the 36-year-old by the 32-year-old, and the 32-year-old fired multiple shots, striking the 36-year-old.
Of course, everybody weighing in on that. You heard the eyewitnesses, the head of the MTA, Jano Lieber, just outraged that anybody would bring a gun onto the subways.
It's not right, and it is absolutely outrageous. That's what happened here. Someone brought a gun on the train and started a fight.
Yeah, so as outrageous as that was, it wasn't the only shooting on public transit yesterday. Police investigating after a 19-year-old woman was shot while getting off a bus in Queens yesterday. This was about 40 minutes after the bullets flew on that subway train. The victim was getting off one of those nice buses. That's the NASA Intercounty Express. This was about 6:20. She was in Jamaica Avenue near 205th Street when she was shot in the hip. She was taken to Jamaica Hospital Medical Center. She is expected to survive. Police telling us that the 19-year-old may have been involved in some sort of dispute on the bus prior to the shooting, and then was shot once she got off the bus. She stepped off it, and apparently this person fired off a shot. Police have not caught up with the gunwoman or the gunman. They haven't told us if it's a man or a woman. The Michigan father charged in connection with that deadly school shooting carried out by his son, teenage son, was found guilty last night.
Count one, involuntary manslaughter as to Madison Baldwin. Guilty of involuntary manslaughter as to Madison Baldwin. Count two, involuntary manslaughter as to Tate Mir. Guilty of involuntary manslaughter as to Tate Mir.
That was the jury foreman reading the verdict yesterday. James Crumbly found guilty on four counts of involuntary manslaughter in the deaths of four students at Oxford High in 2021. The shooter's mother's already been found guilty on the same charges. So prosecutors had said that the Crumblies, the mom and dad, had turned a blind eye to their son's mental health problems and left a gun used in the crime unsecured. So now the dad, he faces up to 15 years in prison per count. I think it was four in all. Ethan Crumbly pled guilty to all the charges. That's the son he faced for killing those four students at Oxford High and injuring seven others back in November of 2021. Three people killed overnight in Indiana. Some severe weather sweeping through the state. These three were in a trailer park when tornadoes whipped through.
It seems like these always strikes people that that will have a tremendous need. All of us would. So I think it's the right thing for us to do, to let them know that we're not going to leave when all the debris is cleaned up. There's going to have to be resources.
Yeah, some of those tornadoes also blowing through Kentucky and Ohio. It looks like Senator Bob Menendez is still considering running for re-election while he's under federal indictment. He's accused of bribery. If you haven't following that story. Gold bars allegedly found in his house. Tens of thousands of dollars of cash found in the closet of his home. But if Menendez does run, he may not run as a Democrat. Maybe he wants to be a spoiler for the Democrats who he say hasn't supported him.
NBC News reports the longtime Democrat is preparing to collect petitions in order to run and seek re-election as an independent. Menendez just pled not guilty to new charges, part of the federal case that accuses him of accepting bribes with an alleged connection to the governments of Egypt and Qatar. Both the senator and his wife have pleaded not guilty in the case. He's rejected numerous calls to resign, but is yet to confirm whether he'll seek re-election, his term up in January. James Flippin for 77 WABC News.
Nisa Rodriguez is an NYPD cop now, but her life, she says, was not going in a good direction early on. And so she got involved with this program called the NYPD Cops and Kids Boxing Program. It's a free program offered to kids to get them off the streets, and it totally changed her life for the better.
Growing up in the Bronx, around 12, 13 years old, I was always getting into fights. I was always in trouble.
So she didn't have the money to join a real boxing gym. Well, this is a real boxing gym, but she didn't have the money to join one. And so she said, thank God she was willing to travel to this one, and it turned her life around. She became a boxer, and she's about to actually appear at Madison Square Garden.
I was a teen, a young mom. I dropped out of school. I was coming here. They encouraged me to go get my GED. I went back to college. I was a teacher for 8 years in Harlem. I lost a couple of kids during the school day from shootouts. And I was like, you know, I want to do something else.
And that's when she decided to become a cop. She's been a police officer for 3 years, and now she is assigned to the NYPD Cops and Kids Boxing Program to encourage other kids to, you know, go down the right path.
She's a role model, and it's amazing how she's a woman, she works at NYPD, and she does boxing.
I can't tell when she's having a bad day because she comes with a great attitude every time.
She's a mentor, teacher, role model to our young kids in the program, so it don't get any better than that.
Yeah, so thank God for the NYPD Cops and Kids Boxing Program. It's worked for other kids as well. Rodriguez making her pro debut today at Madison Square Garden. She's also training for the Olympics this year and hopes to qualify. If she does, she would represent Puerto Rico as a boxer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.